when you thought of comedians, thought of like Norm Macdonald, all of his jokes were horribly uncomfortable and some might even say bad. But no one would talk anything negative about him. He's a positive influence and role model in community. His awkward style of comedy was something that is kind of legend. He is going to be missed. If you haven't seen Dirty Work, go watch that. And if you have some time, check out all of his stand-up online, especially his stuff from the last 10 years. It's really, really good. And then last, I just want to give you a quote from Norm, and then we'll get things going today. Comedy is surprises. So if you're intending to make somebody laugh and they don't laugh, that's funny. What is up, everybody? It's good to see you today. I'm so glad that we are here doing this episode. I got really kind of emotional over the Norm Macdonald stuff this week. He's been a big comedian influence in my life just because he makes everybody super uncomfortable. Love the guy. Watch his stuff. Let's bring in our team for today that are going to be arguing with one another. I want to bring in Eric first. Eric, hello.
Hello, Andy. It's great to be here, man.
Yep, Eric. Yep. And then let's bring in our buddy Kyle. Kyle, hello. Good to see you.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
All right. And Isaiah, winner from last time.
What's up, everybody? Let's go two in a row. Let's go.
All right. And because he won last week, we pulled out the big guns and we went to get somebody related. His sister is here. Mariah, great to see you. We are so glad to see you hopefully beat Isaiah. Now, I run the scoring, so good luck to you today.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Yeah, he's going down. Let's go.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, let's just get going right away into the first. All right. So how could we not start off with the PlayStation event last week when we have a panel who loves gaming, right? Eric, a huge gamer. Isaiah, Mariah, you guys are all gamers. And Kyle, I'm going to just assume that you are too because you talked about Call of Duty before the show. Okay. So we got a better look at Kratos in the upcoming Ragnarok game that probably won't be out for a year and a half, right? Spider-Man 2 announcement with Venom, Insomniac dropping Wolverine, the Knights of the Old Republic remake for PS5 that probably won't see the light of day for 5 years. Now, it's going to be a while, but these are some exciting games. So what do you guys think was the best news coming out of PlayStation, this event, and what are you most excited for? Or should we just like pump the brakes on this stuff right now? Eric, let's bring you in first.
Well, you know, I'm excited about everything that you mentioned, Andy, but one thing I was really concerned about is the delay of Grand Theft Auto 5. Are we ever going to get to play this?
Valid point. Yes. PlayStation showing yet again another Grand Theft Auto trailer. Now, I know that you're being facetious, but you're telling me that you don't want to play the same game 10 years later.
Right. Exactly. What I'm really concerned about are the families of the Rockstar employees. Is this thing ever going to turn a profit? Are they ever going to start making money off of this?
Damn you, Eric. You're getting some points for this, man. Sarcastic answers win for me. Isaiah, let's get you in here and see what you got to say about this.
Eric, wonderful pick. But I got to tell you, let's be realistic here, right? The winner and the best news out of Insomniac is Insomniac. Was this not the greatest purchase of an IP or a studio? They're cranking out games like... I'm cranking out movies.
They're winning games too, right? These are games, right, that are good, right? Reviewed.
They are AAA games, and I love God of War. The conference started off real slow, but I gotta say, Spider-Man 2 looks amazing, and Wolverine looks top-notch. So I'm putting both of those together. Grand Theft Auto, you're going down.
Grand Theft Auto, third pick for you. Kyle, what do you got?
I will admit, until we got into the show notes, I didn't realize this was going on last week, to be completely honest. I'm all about honesty.
You did your research.
I'm all about honesty.
Start.
Right? But I did my research. I looked it up after the fact. And I will say, I am a PlayStation loyalist. So I'm there. I'm so loyal to my PS4 that I'm refusing to get a PS5 as long as possible. But I know some people might have some hookups and we could figure that out. But... you know, I stick to Call of Duty, NHL, and whenever NCAA football comes back, I'll be back on that wagon and that train. But I will say Twitter has been lit up the last week about these different games. So I'm just excited for other people to play all these games. They seem to be excited. And when they're not excited on Twitter, you know it pretty quickly when everyone's significantly angry. So I think the winner is just gamers. It sounds like some exciting stuff is coming out.
All right, Mariah, what do you think?
Okay, so when I first saw the thumbnail of God of War, I was freaking out because Select Screen and I have played God of War for a very, very long time. We used to go to E3 every year together. I still have the badges like behind me. but the game I'm most excited for is Horizon Zero Dawn because I'm kind of like the storyline kind of person. And I'm excited to see what they pull out. But God of War looked amazing. You know, it's like, boy, you know, I'm surprised Select Screen didn't say boy.
But he's growing. Can we get a boy from Select Screen? You gotta.
Boy. Boy.
That's good. Okay. Yes. So I'm surprised, you know, but... yeah, I was excited for God of War, first and foremost, then Horizon Zero Dawn.
The guy doing the voice of Thor is the dude that played Opie in Sons of Anarchy, which I don't know his
actor. Yeah.
Ryan something, I feel bad. Does anyone know? Anyway, he's a good actor. Very excited for God of War. Let's see, Eric, did you actually have a game you're really excited for?
I do, and it's going to be Wolverine. Even though we didn't get to see gameplay footage, I was stoked when I saw the Insomniac logo. I was stoked when I saw him pop the claws. I'm going to support Isaiah on this. What a great accusation. I mean, Insomniac has knocked every single title I think they've ever done out of the park. I know PS5s are hard to get, but if you get a chance to try the new Ratchet & Clank, you're going to see one of the most beautiful games you've ever seen. They're going to bring that to Spider-Man. They're going to bring that to Wolverine. They care about the properties that they release.
Isaiah, do you think Xbox missed a chance with Insomniac? Because they did have Sunset Overdrive as an exclusive.
They totally dropped the ball. And I think they're kicking themselves big time. They're kicking themselves really big time. Even with the acquisition of their other major studio.
Bethesda.
Bethesda's really big, but I don't know if their IP reaches the casual like it does, like Marvel does.
We'll see when Amazon pumps $100 million into the Fallout show that's going to come out in 5 years, right? We'll see about that.
Yeah, but can that take down Logan? I mean, again, I got to agree with Eric. Like, when I saw him sitting at the bar, I was like, that looks a lot like Logan. And then
very excited. There's a lot of really good stuff coming out. I mean, I think that we can't really go wrong. The only problem I ever have with Sony is that they just make us wait forever for stuff that they show us. And we were talking before the episode that there's a good chance even God of War gets pushed from fall of next year into the spring of 23. So, you know, good luck to PlayStation owners. I'm going to get a PS5. I'm not rushing right now because everything's still coming out for that 4. I don't know. We'll see next year. PlayStation changed its tune on the upgrade bundle, right, for free. So no more free upgrades for PlayStation fans to next-gen games. Okay, let's talk Shang-Chi now. Yeah, they reversed it. It's going to be a $10 policy. You still got to pay. $10 to upgrade. And that seems fair, right, if the next-gen game is $70? I don't know. All right, Shang-Chi. So this is the new Marvel movie. It came out. It broke the Labor Day weekend release record, hitting $96 million. In the theaters over the weekend, opening weekend. And you know ScarJo was happy about that, right? Disney's probably writing her a settlement check right now as we're talking. So not only was it a financial success, but it reviewed extremely well too. And it's sitting at 92% and 98% respectively on Rotten Tomatoes. So we're going to talk about this as spoiler-free as possible. We know there's a pandemic and we know that not everybody's been able to go see the movies, but we want to talk about the film itself. You know, kind of what this means for Marvel and what this means for both maybe Marvel and movies going forward, right? Is there hope down the line? Kyle, let's bring you in first.
I will say this. Thank goodness for Shang-Chi, because right before Shang-Chi, we got note that movies like Top Gun Maverick were getting pushed back, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Mm-hmm. And so the next logical movie you're thinking, all these Marvel projects, Eternals, Shang-Chi, like these are all going to get pushed back and it's going to mess up the timeline with all the TV shows and it's just going to get chaotic. So thank goodness for that first weekend, great returns the second weekend as well. So I think that bodes well for, we're going to talk about Dune here in a little bit, but projects like Dune, Last Night in Soho, Eternals, that we're going to get those on time. Thank goodness, because I don't know if we can go through another fall movie season just being stuck with Netflix releases, which
we'll just watch some good stuff coming. From Nick Cage.
Oh, Pig's Man, amazing. So,
Eric, what do you think?
I enjoyed Shang-Chi, I tell you what, the people that made Mortal Kombat and the new Snake Eyes movie should watch Shang-Chi so they can understand how a good kung fu movie should be made. And I thought if you take Shang-Chi out of the Marvel universe, it's still a good movie. Even without the tie-ins to Marvel, I thought it worked start to finish.
All right. Mariah, what do you think?
Well, I'm probably the only one out of the crew that hasn't seen Shang-Chi yet, but I think that...
Look at his face.
I know, the insult face.
So let me ask you this, and since you have not seen the movie, mm-hmm. you know, going into seeing Shang-Chi, like, what are you expecting out of this film based on what you've heard?
I'm expecting like major action. I'm expecting like the Marvel special, so our superhero, recipe. And being that it, you know, got such high ratings, I think that it bodes well for Marvel in the future, because seeing Black Widow, it was really lackluster to me. But if they pick up the pace like they did with Shang-Chi, then bodes well for the future, I think.
All right, Isaiah, what do you think? You've seen the movie, yeah? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen it twice. So nice. I've seen it twice. I give it 5 out of 5. The movie is so excellent because, like Black Panther, it came out not only at an amazing time. It's an amazing movie in itself, but it came at the perfect time. And that's the misstep with Black Widow. It came out in the perfect time. We've experienced in the world, we've seen a lot of Asian hate going on. And this is a great way for not to reframe the way that Asians are seen, but it casts them in a positive light and more so a deeper light. That's what really made this movie so great, without spoiling it too much. But the Mandarin is so deep. His motivations aren't like, ha ha ha, you know, we're gonna just take you guys out.
He's not an angry white man in Iron Man 3. Looking at you, Guy Pierce.
He's deep. And that made Shang-Chi very well liked. The powers, the costume, the whole thing. And we just need it in general. Again, I got to agree with Eric and Kyle on this. We needed a good kung fu movie. We just needed some good, I'm going to punch you in the face or I'm going to hit you with this stick kind of film, just to make you feel good in theaters. And it just flat out delivered, so much that Venom came on.
Well, you know,
its date.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's really does, I think, bode well for movies this fall. I'm still not putting us out of the safe zone, right? Like, there's anything can still happen at this point. It did fall into those typical Marvel tropes at the end, but it was still so good the way they did it. It was definitely elevated to something that was above what they have been putting out, I think. Last few movies that they've, like, their solo films like that. So it's good that I'm excited for you, Mariah, that you haven't seen it, right? Because you're going to be able to go in there and get in there and see it. So we're going to be ending round one now. So I didn't tell you the scores after the first questions because I didn't want you to stress out about this, okay? So at the end of the first round, one of you is about to leave. So Isaiah, you have 5 of my arbitrary scoring scale. Eric, you have 5. On my arbitrary scoring scale. Mariah, you have 5 on my arbitrary scoring scale. And Kyle, you have 4 on my arbitrary scoring scale. So Kyle, you have been eliminated in the first round. Wave goodbye as I send you to the sidelines. Now stick around though, because I'm gonna ask you a question at the end here, okay? So let's get you out of here. All right, let's get into our round 2 here, just a minute. All right, round 2. We're going to talk about The Matrix. Let's get into it. Are we already in The Matrix? I'm just a smidge confused, right? Neo's back. And that trailer, when it first started, I was kind of out on what was going on. But by the end of that 2-minute acid trip, I'm so excited now for this movie. And it's going to be released also on HBO Max. So it's unlikely to see a delay like the Paramount movies we had mentioned earlier. So let's just talk about this trailer. What do you guys think? How's the new Matrix going to work? Thoughts on the movie? Mariah, let's bring you in first.
Okay, so I know that my brother is the hugest Matrix fan, so I'm glad that I got to go prior to him. but yeah, just seeing the initial trailer, it looks like it has all of the Matrix bundled back up into one, and they're doing it right. They're like, they go down the Alice in Wonderland like rabbit hole, and they get fans excited about it. Truly,
I could Keanu, I could watch them do this rabbit hole thing, right? Like they get out of the Plato's gate over and over again.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, and you know, like Keanu Reeves, like they had to keep him going, and he's just a great actor to me. Whatever he does, he's very versatile, and so rebooting the Matrix was just right for him, in my opinion.
Everybody asking why he didn't shave for this movie like he was with Neo. If you've seen Keanu Reeves unshaven lately, you should tell him to keep that beard on, my friend, right? Isaiah, absolutely. I'm going to make you wait as long as possible, you big Matrix fan, you. All right, Eric, what do you got?
I love the original Matrix film. I feel like the two sequels, outside of some specific action sequences, really fell apart, especially the third movie. If there's any property that deserves to be revisited with post-John Wick Keanu Reeves, it's this. So I hope that they take the story, combine it, make it digestible. But I also think we're going to be in store for some amazing action sequences. I know it's going to be on HBO Max. This is one I'll be watching in the theater.
In the theater, yep. 3 days before Christmas, right in time to get probably whatever the Christmas variant of COVID is. Isaiah, let's see what you got to say about the Matrix trailer.
Well. Okay, you guys didn't catch that. I'm beyond excited for this. I was one that I've seen the first movie over 150 times.
That's wild. I mean, I believe you though.
Right. The second and the third one, I think falls apart, but there's so much good action. This trailer specifically, what I loved about it is when you slow it down and you look at what's going on in this movie, I love the fact that it still honors the first two movies or the first three movies in the sense that it looks like they're plugging him back in. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very interesting concept. My one thing was no Lawrence Fishburne, no Agent Smith, one due to contract, one due to we're going to get this other dude.
We have a young Morpheus now, because I was going to go back around and we'll just start right here with you, Isaiah.
Sure.
Speculate away, like give us your 30-second pitch on what you think this movie is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both Morpheus and Trinity are not real. I think when we see some of the code go down Trinity's face, that's our clue to show, and we see Morpheus being made. I don't think that the Matrix and in the real world are being affected. This whole movie is actually going to take place in his head.
That's kind of wild. I would like that. That'd be very cool. Mariah, good luck following up on that theory.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, of course. So the Matrix, what if it had to do with COVID and there's some kind of, I don't know, some kind of variant of the Matrix? I don't know.
So there, I was thinking that there could be maybe a new version of the Matrix, right, that was created on the side. Maybe Neo, you know, they'd rebooted him and he kind of forgot. Maybe there was more to the first movies. I don't know. Eric, what do you think as far as speculation here?
I'm not smart enough to anticipate what they're going to do. However, when the original creators are revisiting arguably their most influential property, they must have had a reason to go back to the well. They must have, I hope, a new original story to tell us that won't discount the first three films, but will enhance them. I'm just hoping for a good story and some good action sequences, just like I'm sure you guys are.
Yeah, and we're also already getting a lot of good like visuals, you know, the blue glasses for the psychiatrist and the blue pills, and you know, just the way that those scenes look, man, it felt awesome, and it made me really excited to get back to what we're going to call the Matrix again. I guess we'll just say we're going to get plugged back in, right? All right, well, we're going to stay now with WB, and Kyle, I'm sorry that you don't get to talk about Dune. You were so excited. I ripped that out of you. But I'm going to go ahead and get Eric up in here first. Eric, tell us what do you think, Dune? We're going to get a few early reviews. They're both brilliant and disappointing, right? Reports came out that WB refused to both greenlight 1 and 2 for Dune. Shot back to back, they would not do that. They said no way. They only wanted to give money for one because Villeneuve, that's how you say his name. I'll talk about him after. I'll let you say what you need to say first. But Apple's about to put out The Foundation. There's massive good sci-fi projects coming out on TV. And if Dune fails, do you think that that's going to spell trouble for kind of this high-level sci-fi in theaters? You know, do you think we'll see more push to the streaming services and we'll get more of like The Matrixes and kind of these big action sci-fi pieces in the theater?
I think they already tried Dune in the theater when I was a kid, and it failed miserably, not only because the story, in my opinion, is very boring. It comes off great when you're reading it, but translating that to film is very hard, and Kyle's probably about to strangle me right now. I think Dune really lends itself to an HBO series. I think it needs to be something like Why the Last Man or Westworld. You can't do it in a 2-hour movie. You can't do it in a 6-hour movie. That property needs time to breathe. That property needs, time to expand upon. So I hope the movie's good, but I don't have a lot of hopes because I saw the original Dune and it was not.
Well, and if you saw Blade Runner 2049, right, it's a really good visual film. And I think Dune's going to be an awesome visual film. But if that movie's hanging around that 3-hour mark, it's, you know, he's kind of, his movies do drag a little bit. Isaiah, what do you think here about Dune?
I got to say, yeah, the same thing. The original Dune for me, man, I'm sorry, Kyle, but the original Dune put me to sleep. I was like, this movie is terrible. Now, to answer the question, I think HBO Max would be a good idea, but I would do...
you do the theater for this?
I would do a limited series. I would do more of the Netflix model with this, where we just put it out. Watch the whole thing. I would not put this out like 1 week and then the next week we'll put out episode 2. I would put the whole thing out, let people watch it and call it what it is. Get as much buzz as you can.
Apparently there's an 8-hour cut somewhere, 6 or 8-hour cut that exists of the first part of this movie, which would be a 6-hour miniseries, right?
Yeah. Cut that brother down and definitely just put it all out. Put it all out.
Mariah, if Dune fails, are we going to not see any more big sci-fi movies like this in theaters?
I doubt that because there's a lot of sci-fi lovers out there. And I think that they could make it work because they can generate a lot of attention. Let's go even like a little bit further back with like Stranger Things. People were excited about, what's going to happen in the Stranger Things world or something like that. So they could rebuild the sci-fi universe very easily, I think, even if Dune does fail. And I don't think that one like series or one movie will break an entire genre that's been going on for a very, very long time.
I think that's fair. But here's the thing. Look at obviously the biggest sci-fi film of this current generations of kids, right? Mm-hmm. What is it? It's
Galaxy Quest. Oh, sorry.
But most kids today, that was the big thing, Star Wars, mm-hmm. right? And Star Wars, as much as I love the film, a lot of comments that I hear about Star Wars is, where's the wars? And I feel like Dune is going to just make that worse. And people are going to go, Why are you guys watching this when we can go watch a Marvel film? You see what I'm saying? So not that the genre will go away, but I think moviegoers right now and people who are watching movies, their program, Marvel is the thing. I mean, think about Marvel and Disney are owned by the same mouse. Mm-hmm. But what's the big blockbusters right now? It's not really Star Wars, as much as I love Star Wars. But if it's not at that Marvel level, people are going to still say, man, that wasn't a Marvel movie.
All right. This is unprecedented, but I feel like I need to do something here. I'm going to bring Kyle back in here to defend himself. Kyle, talk to us about Dune. What do you think about Dune? If it fails, do you think we're in trouble for highbrow sci-fi? Are you excited for the movie?
This is my ghost appearance. Yeah, Ghost Kyle. Very much Ghost Kyle. Yep. Usually I don't interact with humans once I've passed to the other side, so this is very weird for me. I just loved it. Denis Villeneuve.
That's how you say it?
Villeneuve, yeah.
I've been wrong my whole life.
Okay. I was too up until about 4 or 5 months ago, and someone corrected me on a podcast. But I mean, when you look at his like list of bangers, Incendies, Enemy, Blade Runner 2049, Prisoners, like almost everything he's ever directed has been a banger. Maybe not necessarily in the box office, like Blade Runner 2049 left a lot to be desired there. I think that's why there's some hesitation, because you ask a lot of like cinephiles, they love Blade Runner 2049. They think it's one of the best movies made in the past decade, but not a huge commercial success. And so I think that's probably why there's hesitation to not green light the second and third parts of the Dune trilogy right away. You know, they kind of want to see how things go, because film Twitter is very different than the rest of the world of people who watch movies. So
do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be good, but I'm also not a huge sci-fi nerd. Like I haven't read the source material, so I'm not comparing vigorously and nitpicking every little step of what they did in the miniseries and the movie years ago.
You think it's going to be a problem if it's too long? Because I think that was one of the issues, right? People have with Blade Runner, that there was a little bit of bloat to it.
What's too long these days?
I would say 3 hours of 3 hours would be too long for a movie like Dune, I think. Because I think it needs to move a little bit faster, right?
If the action sequences are grand enough and the star power in that cast is incredible, that alone will bring people to the theaters to see Chalamet, Oscar Isaac. I mean, you've got some really imposing forces there, Brolin. Rebecca Ferguson, who I think is really underrated. So I think that'll help. Yeah, I mean, if it's longer, I think we live in a world now where you either go all in 3 hours or you go less than 90 minutes, and anything in between becomes tough. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be similar to 2049, especially since this is not new. People have seen the previous stuff, and a lot of people didn't like the earlier Dune versions. So I think that's why they're being really apprehensive about it.
Can I ask you, Oscar Isaac, you brought him up. What is the verdict on him? Because he was Apocalypse. Most people didn't like Poe.
I loved Poe.
I did.
Ride for Poe.
But in general, I think people thought that he was like Han knockoff. Do you think Oscar Isaac is that big name draw anymore?
I do. Yeah. I don't think about those roles when
he's
I think about
so
Oscar Isaac.
He's so sexy, too. Can we just be honest?
He's a beautiful man. Beautiful.
He's very beautiful, yeah.
I think of Inside Llewyn Davis. He's incredible in that. I think of his early days in a ska band, which is hilarious.
Most Dangerous Year.
I think of his work in Ex Machina, because he's incredible in that. A Most Violent Year, he's fantastic in that. Those aren't huge blockbusters, but if you're taking something that's like indie fringe, he kills it. Again, the focus isn't going to be solely on him. You know, everybody's going to thirst over Timothy Chalamet here, so I'm not super worried about it. And Scenes from a Marriage just came out, and people are raving about he and Chastain's acting performances there.
All right, Eric, last thought on Dune.
I probably will not see it in the theater.
And I will not see it in the theater. You're going to be an HBO Max guy?
Okay. Unless it gets just the most amazing reviews, only because the original movie has still left a bad taste in my mouth from when I was a kid. And everyone was like, you like Star Wars? You like Star Trek? You'll love Dune. No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to end our second round. So we're looking at Isaiah. You've scored 9 points. Now, Kyle, what are you doing? Get out of here. Be gone from here. You ghost. So Isaiah, you got 9 points, Eric at 9, and Mariah at 7. So Mariah, you have been eliminated in the second round. Go ahead. I'll bring in here, wave goodbye as you are kicked off. We'll bring you back here in just a few minutes. All right. So we are looking now at Eric and Isaiah in the final round here, and good luck to the both. All right, I'm going to get to the last question. We got one final question here. And this is in completely unimportant news that does not matter to anybody other than what we're going to talk about right now. Conor McGregor tried to fight Machine Gun Kelly over the weekend for not taking a picture with him at the VMAs. Now, clearly, we would not punch a celebrity for not taking a picture with us, but I'm sure that there's a celebrity that you'd like to punch in the face. Who would it be and why would that be? Isaiah, go ahead and go first. Let's get you up here.
I would actually, I'd punch Conor McGregor. I'd punch McGregor. I can't stand McGregor. I can't stand him. The fact that he fought a boxer and almost won, it's annoying. Every time he's doing a press conference, I just want to reach through the screen and strangle him. I love, you know, rags to riches story. That's fine. That's great. But when I saw this question, I was like, there's my answer right there. Conor, if you're watching this right now,
yeah, that's
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Isaiah, +3 for calling out Conor McGregor. Just the balls that takes, even if he'd never see this, you know, I don't think I would fight him. He would, you know, but we're going to actually go -1 for potential murder talk because we do want to punch him, not kill him. Right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Eric, what do you got here? Who would you want to smack in the face?
I'm honestly going to say, take the same approach as Isaiah, but the opposite side, somebody who I actually could beat up. I'd punch Machine Gun Kelly in the face for being a shitty rapper, for not eating anything. I think he's terrible. The only time I've ever taken a song off of the Tony Hawk soundtrack is his My Bloody Valentine song because it's terrible. And people love it. I don't understand what it is. So yeah, I would punch him in the face, Andy. I'm pretty confident I could win that battle.
Well, I also am pretty confident you could win that battle, but you know, he is going to have Megan Fox standing next to him in that weird naked dress that she was in. You might be moderately distracted by that, just enough to, you know, only maybe punch Machine Gun Kelly once or twice before he hits the ground, right?
If not him, I'd pick James Corden.
James Corden. You know, there's a lot of people I think that would punch James Corden, I do believe. All right, well, we're going to tally the scores here. So it looks like at the end of this round, Isaiah, you're going to be at 12, and Eric, you are at 13. So, Eric, you're going to actually be our winner today. So, Isaiah, no repeat for you today. We're going to move ourselves away. We're going to give this to Eric now to talk about whatever it is that he wants to talk about. You got 30 seconds, my friend.
Well, first of all, I'm shocked I won. I thought that I would be out on the first question, so I appreciate you guys putting up with my BS here. If you want to check out my stuff, bitface.com. My podcast is called Bitface. We've got a lot of new exciting episodes coming out. Thanks for having me on the show, Andy. This was awesome, and I hope I get to do this again.
Well, we are glad you're here. I'm going to bring everybody back in here real quick. Does it have any words, anything you want to say about Norm MacDonald? Kyle, anything you want to add about Norm?
Rest in peace to a legend.
All right, you guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming. I will see you in 4 weeks. 2 weeks Q is back. Check out project-nerd.com. There's a lot of live podcasts, live videos. G-Spot's really good. There's a lot of great stuff on there. Check out Select Screen, Bitface, and Munson's at the Movies. That's your podcast, right, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Check it all out, guys. Thanks very much for being here. Thank you again. We'll see you soon. Have fun. Have a good week. Bye.